want you to ask your neighbor, ask them, has God broken through to you? You know, it's very important for God to break through to us. We normally have a custom in this church, and we normally have a theme for the month. And this month, as I waited on God, I perceived that God wanted us to theme it a month of breakthrough. Now, so throughout this month, we'll be talking about the topic called breakthrough. Now, I just want to ease your fears before I start, because a lot of people, when they hear breakthrough, it's something they've heard so many times, and they have not broken through anything, or nothing has broken through in their life. And, you know, it's a word which I say has been used extensively in Christian circles to the extent that it's almost been abused or overused. And, you know, a lot of times we see conferences where they say, oh, come and receive your breakthrough, or your breakthrough will happen. And we leave, you know, people go there expectant, but they leave the place disappointed. People go there, they receive excitement, but there's no transformation in their life. And, you know, I believe strongly that God would speak to us this month, because there are many types of breakthroughs. And a lot of times when we talk about breakthrough, most people immediately start thinking of material things. They think of physical things. They think of prosperity. They think of money. They think of breakthrough in their career or business. That's all part of it. But there are many types. You know, there's the spiritual breakthrough. You can have a spiritual breakthrough in your life. You can have a financial one, you can have a career one. You can have a breakthrough whereby your spirit is broken. So there are many types of breakthrough, and so I just want to ease your fears this afternoon that this month it's not just financial, or it's not about financial or those sort of things. And I believe that as we go through the month, God will speak to you in Jesus' name. Now, the reality of the matter is that we all need a breakthrough at various points in our life. Everybody at one point or the other will require one kind of breakthrough or the other. Sometimes it's a spiritual breakthrough. Sometimes a breakthrough might just be the case that somebody, somewhere, remembers to pray for you, and that prayer will cause healing or cause an opening in a certain area. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, from verses 1 to about 10 or thereabouts, there was a certain gentleman called Naaman. Naaman he had leprosy in his body. But what happened? Somebody remembered that there's a prophet somewhere. And based on that, Naaman received a breakthrough in his healing. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a lady, a widow, who her husband died and she owed quite a lot of money. She came into contact with a prophet, and based on that, she received a financial breakthrough. So there are times that we would all need a breakthrough in our life. Amen. Now, the word breakthrough means an act of overcoming or penetrating an obstacle or restriction. So it means that an act of overcoming something like a mountain or penetrating through something that is blocking our path. It means a major achievement or success that permits further progress. When you talk about breakthrough, you need to understand something, that without resistance, there's no breakthrough. So, for example, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, from verses 1 to 17 or thereabouts, the Bible talks about, it says that when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed as king, they gathered. And then what happened? David asked God. God said, yes, go, and I'll give you a victory over them. And then when he had victory, he said, God has broken through. So he called the place Baal Perazim. He said, God has broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of water. So where there's no resistance, you cannot have a breakthrough. When you talk about breakthrough, it means that there's a resistance, there's a limitation, or there's somewhere or something that you need to do to propel you beyond what you are or where you are or what you're doing at this point in time. So, for example, we talk about breakthrough in technology. Breakthrough in technology means that there's a radical revolution or change in the way we use technology. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? So, every individual needs a breakthrough, one way or the other, at one point or the other. However, as much as there are different types of breakthrough, like I said, so there's the financial, business, career, physical, whatever the case may be, This morning, I just want to talk about God breaking through to you. Because, get this, that is the greatest breakthrough you can have in life. Listen to me. When God breaks through to you, it is a matter of time that all the other breakthroughs come along. So that is the greatest one. Because if you don't have God breaking through to you, all the other breakthroughs do not matter. They are irrelevant. And I'll tell you what I mean. If God has not broken through to you, you may have a financial breakthrough. But if God has not broken through to you, it will just be wasted. If God has not broken through to you and you have a breakthrough in your career or in your business, it is a matter of time before that breakthrough causes a problem in your life. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? So the greatest kind of breakthrough you can have is for God to break through to you. And that's why I want to start with that this month. Because I think that it's very key that as much as each person here is believing God for something, some people are believing God that God will bring their spouse to them, some people are believing God for their healing, some people are believing God for their financial breakthrough, some people are believing God for a business idea, whatever the case may be, some people are believing God for the salvation of their parents or friends and things. Those are very important. But the breakthrough, for God to break through to you personally, is the most important one. The scripture we read earlier talks about a certain gentleman called Jacob. And we pick it up from verse 22 just to lay the background in case you've never heard about Jacob. Jacob is a certain gentleman. He had a twin brother. And he was the second born. And his twin brother was meant to inherit. He was his birthright, as in those days. The other brother would be the one that would own double and get the honor and blessing of the father. But through one means or the other, Jacob deceived his father and got his brother's blessing so that he got the birthright and he got the blessing that was due to his father. And prior to chapter 32, he ran away from home because his brother wanted to kill him or was scheming and ran somewhere. So we pick it up here where he was coming back home. And we find out that Jacob at this time had become very successful. Jacob had become a man of success. He had become rich in cattle. He had become rich in flocks. He had become rich in herds. He left home alone and came back with two wives and two concubines and so many children. He had many servants. So he had broken through financially, if you want to look at it that way. He was wealthy, so he was quite comfortable. So he had broken through in certain areas that a lot of us are thinking about. But you see, God had not yet broken through to him at that point in time. Am I speaking to somebody? And you find out that Jacob at that point had spent 20 years away from home. And he was on the way back home. However, he was not certain how his brother called Esau would receive him. So he was at a point, we meet him at a point of uncertainty in that verse 20. So he was at a point whereby he was coming back home, he would be meeting his brother, but he was at a point of uncertainty because he was thinking his life could be at risk. The life of his family could be at risk. His possessions and everything could be at risk if his brother had not forgotten the deceit that happened years ago. And so this man called Jacob, if that is God. Hallelujah. Amen. So this man, Jacob, he was at that point of uncertainty. And the Bible says in verse 22, it says that he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. You know, as I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, that's quite interesting. That why did he send his wife away and his family away? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, but Jacob, being the schemer and strategist that he is, you know, the Bible says, tells us that he sent them ahead of him. Now, I was thinking to myself, he probably was sending them ahead that by the time Esau kills the concubine, kills the wives, kills the children, he'll have time to escape. Now, you know, but Jacob was a strategist. He was a schemer. That's the point I'm trying to make. That was his whole life. When he was with Laban, he schemed. When he was in the mother's womb, he almost schemed. Oh, yeah, you need to read it. He skimped. Right from the mother's womb, he was. So he grew up with that. Always scheming, planning, and strategizing on how to get the better of the next person. And you find out that was his life. So God had not broken through to him. But then in verse 24, the Bible says that he was left alone. He was left alone. You know, I was saying earlier that a lot of times we want to come to church and we want our breakthrough to happen in church. And sometimes, and please get this right, I'm not hitting because I believe that God does miracles and things in the crowd, in a congregation. In fact, he does. He's done it here so many times. But you see, sometimes because people go to a gathering expecting that breakthrough in the gathering. But you see, the God that we serve, a lot of times, and you know, I cannot put God in a box, so I can't say that's how he works all the time. But I'll use myself as an example. A lot of the breakthroughs I've had has been in secrets. A lot of my breakthroughs in life have happened when I was alone with God, or when I was in my study, or in the bathroom alone with him. And you see, the Bible says that Jacob was left alone. Now, listen to me. Sometimes a lot of us, we are alone with God, but we are busy. You see, you can be alone with God and still be busy. Let me explain, in case you still don't get what I'm saying. In case you still don't get me. The challenge is a lot of people are too busy to be alone with God, so they don't get their breakthrough. Now, when I say alone, I'm not saying you don't spend time alone. I'm not saying you don't spend time praying. I'm not saying you don't spend time maybe reading the Bible. But you know, you can be doing all that and still be busy in your spirit. There have been times that I've sat down in my study and I'm still praying or reading the Bible. And as I'm doing that, I'm busy. I'm thinking of the ministry. I'm thinking of what's going to happen. I'm thinking of my next appointment. I'm thinking of the business. I'm thinking of some phone calls I need to make. I'm busy, but I'm alone. But I'm too busy for God to break through to me. And sometimes that is the challenge a lot of us have. Because we are busy, we don't allow God to break through to us. I think I'm saying something that makes sense. Is it making sense? If it's making sense, tap the person next to you. I think Pastor is speaking to you there. Hallelujah. And you see, sometimes we're too busy for God to show up. And you know, you find that with Jacob in that scripture, it was when he was left alone. The Bible says, and the man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. So it was when he was left alone that God showed up. When you are left alone, God will usually show up then. I was saying earlier, you know, the Bible says that what I tell you in the closet, shout it on the rooftop. What does that mean? It means that the breakthrough usually happens in the closet. But what people see out there, the physical, is just the manifestation of the breakthrough you've already had. Get this. In the book of Joshua chapter 6, God told Joshua, said, "See, I have given you Jericho." That happened in the secret place. But the breakthrough that happened had already happened in the secret place before the Jericho walls of Jericho fell in the open. So until you are left alone, God cannot break through to you. And listen to me, once God breaks through to you, all the other breakthroughs that we normally think about, those ones will follow. Amen? I pray that God will show up in your life this morning. I said, I pray that God will show up in your life in the name of Jesus. You know, some of us, we need God to show up in our situations. We've been praying, we've been doing so many things. But all we need to do is be alone with God and just let Him. You see, there's no way you can be alone with God. And I'm not talking about just going alone. I'm talking about being alone and not being busy in your head. There's no way you can be alone with God and He will not show up. Not the God that I know. Am I speaking to somebody? Hallelujah. The Bible says he was left alone. He was left alone. And then a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. It says the breaking of day. Now, when you talk about the breaking of day indicates a time when light comes out of darkness. The breaking of day is symbolic of the time when there's a change in visibility. Whereby, you know, normally, before dawn breaks, you need to switch on your electricity or in order to be able to see. But the minute there's a breaking of day, light has broken forth that there is better visibility. Listen to me. Your breakthrough will happen when there's a breaking of day. Am I making sense? Notice that his breakthrough happened when there was a breaking, when light came forth. You know, at times, what you need, the Bible says that your word is like a lamp unto my feet. There needs to be a breaking of day, whereby the light, the word of God, which is the light, shines forth into that darkness for that breakthrough to happen. But that will only happen until God breaks through to you. Well, is that making sense? So the Bible says that the man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And then it was as the day broke that the breakthrough was about to happen. As the day broke, his breakthrough was about to happen. Let me stop there for a minute. Because the Bible says that he was left alone. Now, that being left alone, I'm sure that it happened before nightfall. Because he probably wouldn't have sent his family away in the night. So it probably happened before night. Before the night. But then, the wrestling match took quite a while, and the breakthrough did not happen before the breaking of day. Which means that there was a prolonged wrestling match happening all night. And you know, the wrestling match did not stop until there was pain. Get this. As I read it, I was thinking to myself, if what God wanted to do in the life of Jacob was to bless him, why did it take so long? All night. And it occurred to me that Jacob is the one that prolonged the suffering. Jacob is the one that prolonged the struggle. What do I mean by that? It took all night, and when the day was breaking, that was when Jacob stopped or was ready. In fact, he did not stop. He was the man that almost stopped it. Now, sometimes some of the things that you are going through or challenges or areas, all you need to do is to allow God to break through and submit. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 9, the Bible says something. It talks about Paul. He said Paul was on the way to Damascus. And the Bible says that as he went, that he met with Jesus. And Jesus said that, why are you kicking against the goads? Some people are kicking against the goads and you cannot get your breakthrough until you stop kicking. You see, Jacob struggled all night. He prolonged the process. There are some processes that you are the one prolonging. I said there are some processes sometimes that you are prolonging because you are not allowing God to break through. And until God breaks through, He cannot release what He wants to do into your hands. You know, I was sharing earlier. You know, I was sharing with the first service earlier during the week. My wife and I had a difference in opinion. You know, if you think the pastor is a saint, I'm not. God is still working on me. And you know, we had a difference in opinion, and I was a bit upset. And I felt I was in the right. So, and sometimes, you know, when you're upset, even when the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, you just think, but I did the right thing. So I thought I was in the right. But one way or the other, my wife apologized. So when she apologized, I said, I accept your apology. That, no problem. But I felt I hadn't done anything wrong, and I think I probably was justified. You know, maybe not. You know, but I mean, she did some things, I did some things. We had a part to play. But she apologized, and I said, I accept her apology. But I said, I don't think I did anything wrong. I said, okay. She said, okay, I accept. So we moved on. So later in the evening, I went to play badminton. And as I was playing badminton, I just pulled my muzzle. Now, you need to understand something. Normally, now you need to understand something. You know, in the past, I go and play badminton and just start playing, no problems, no issues. But this time around, okay, I haven't played in a while. And you know, I don't think I played for up to five minutes before this muzzle pull happened. Now, I don't think that has ever happened in my life, whereby, you know, so that the muzzle pull was so bad. I was limping. I was practically walking like this for about 4 or 5 days. Now, what am I saying here? You see, when the thing happened, and it happened, and as I was going home, I said, God, that if this is judgment, okay. Now, God, I'm sorry. Now, get this. When she apologized, she mentioned something. I said, okay, the thing I did. I said, I didn't do anything wrong. Now, I said, God, I'm sorry that if this is judgment. But the point I'm making is that if I'd apologized from the beginning, I would not have prolonged the process. But God needed to cause pain in order to break through to me. Am I making sense? Pain, and that's what happened with Jacob. You find that in verse 25, it says, when he saw that he did not prevail against me, this was God, and he was not prevailing against man. That means that the guy was struggling with, the Bible says a man appeared to him, but it was whatever of God. And it's, so, try to imagine and that's what happens with some of us. God is trying to get through to us, but it's not prevailing because we are struggling. Because we have decided that, hey, no. And he says that he did not prevail. And notice what happened. He says he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled to him. You know, as I read that, I thought of, if you've ever dislocated a shoulder or a joint, you know how painful it is. Now, in order for God to get a breakthrough, he had to cause pain. And it was only after that. And sometimes, listen to me, some of the pain you are going through is because you are not allowing God to break through to you. There are some pains that we go through in our life that if only we allow God to break through to us, the pain would not even come near us. There are certain situations that or challenges that we go through. You know, sometimes, you know, it's easy. When I just use the example of myself and my wife. Sometimes when couples come to us for counseling, and you know, they talk about, you know, this, they did this, they did that, or whatever. And sometimes it's so easy. All you need to do is just sorry, move on. Okay, maybe not as easy as that. But sometimes, in marriage, I found that a lot of times, and like I explained that, in trying to say that I'm right, cause pain. A lot of times, It is each person in the marriage trying to prove they are right that causes the pain and suffering that happens in most marriages. Most marriages. Sometimes some of this is generational, some spiritual, there are various reasons. But a lot of marriages, you find that it is the individuals. You know, I was saying something I was sharing earlier, and you know, you may not understand this. That's why sometimes be careful the prayers you pray. The country where I come from, or a lot of developing countries and Asian countries as well, I think. You know, there's usually when something negative or bad happens, you know, people usually ascribe it to evil forces. But sometimes they don't know that they are the ones that are really the evil force in their life. Am I making sense? Imagine, and I'm not saying that well, but imagine when I pulled my muzzle. If God had not broken through me and I started saying that in the name of Jesus, every agent of the enemy that is causing this muzzle pull. But those are the sort of things that people do. And what they don't know is they are shooting themselves. Amen. Am I making sense? So, the pain came before God was able to get near to breaking through. And then he says in verse 26, and he said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then verse 27, so he said to him, what is your name? You know, it got to a stage that the pain was, got to a stage, the struggle. And Jacob finally was trying to succumb. And God said, what is your name? You know, that question is a question that a lot of us shy away from. That question, what is your name, is a question a lot of us don't want to hear. That question, what is your name, is a question that a lot of us intentionally misunderstand. You see, when you are alone with God, and God asks you, what is your name? If you rise up and say, my name is Shola Iwedemi, or Jane, or whatever your name is, you should stop to think that, hey, hang on, but he is God. He must know my name. So why is he asking for my name? Now, that what is your name is not what the name they called you, your parents called you. You see, when God asks a lot of us, what is your name? What we do is we say, yes, Lord, I'm pastor. I'm deacon this. I'm an accountant. Lord, you know, I have this kind of degree and this. So what we do is we put our best hand forward. You see, what happens with a lot of us bosses, when we meet people or human beings, we don't want them to know our weaknesses. So usually, if we have a problem with this hand, when we meet people, that's what we do. But when God is saying, what is your name? He's not interested in this hand. He wants you to admit that there's a problem with this hand. You see, until you answer that question, what is your name, you cannot get healing in this hand. So, for example, when Jesus met the man with the withered hand, he didn't ask him, stretch out a certain hand. He said, stretch out your hand. If the man had stretched out the good hand, he would not have received healing in the withered hand. When God said, what is your name? What he was saying is, who are you really? Who are you when nobody is looking? Who are you if you can get away with things and you won't be caught? Who really are you on the inside that nobody can see? He was saying, what is your name? And you know, Jacob said, I'm Jacob. The word Jacob means schemer, deceiver, usurper. It means, what is your name? You know, we should be, when you are with God, you have to be open with God. You should be able to say, God, I'm a liar. What is your name? Lord, I'm a cheat. What is your name? I'm an adulterer. What is your name? Lord, I'm a womanizer. What is your name? I'm addicted to pornography. What is your name? A lot of people, I remember recently, I was talking to a gentleman that was having an issue with his wife or something. There was a physical whatever attraction between them. And you know this person because he's not in this church, so don't try to use your head to think who it is. Because some people are already thinking, so he's not in this church. And he hit his wife, you know, and I was trying to make him understand that, hey, that's not acceptable under any circumstance at all. And, you know, he was saying that, prove to me that she provoked him. And even till, he did not admit. And a lot of us are like that. We point the finger, but we don't see the other finger pointing back to us. And when God says, what is your name? What he wants is for us to do like this. We need to be ready to say, God, I'm a wife beater. What is your name? Lord, I indulge in self-gratification. I masturbate when nobody's looking. What is your name? I have those lustful thoughts. What is your name? I don't know if anybody is here understanding what I'm saying. You see, when God asks you what is your name, he already knows. But he wants you to admit. I'm a slanderer. I say things behind people's back and slander them and kill them. What is your name? And you know, that was what God was asking Jacob, that what is really your name? You see, until you answer that question, you cannot get the breakthrough in other areas that you are like you ought to get it. And you see, that the challenge in the church is that we all want, everybody wants people to think they are a saint. And in the process of trying to look like a saint and behave like a saint to everyone, we forget that God is God. So we are behaving like a saint to God as well. That's the problem. So we want God to see us, oh God, I'm a saint. We forget that he's God, he knows everything. And listen to me, until you really say your name, who you are, he cannot tell you who he wants you to be. Until you say, God, hey, I'm just a hopeless person. I'm addicted. I listen to me. Some years back, and you see some people are here thinking this doesn't apply to them. God help you. But you see, because sometimes you think that, oh, I've been coming to church, pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. Some years ago, I was an assistant pastor. I'd been an assistant pastor for about a year, 2 years. I don't remember how long now. About 2-3 years. I don't remember. And I was overlooking so many areas. You know, I had quite a lot of influence in the church. And, you know, but the church was growing. So in the process, there was a reorganization and some of my responsibilities were handed to somebody else to handle. And, you know, in the process, I was thinking, hey, what's happening here? So I had insecurities. I had insecurities, but at that stage, I didn't admit that it was my insecurities. And, you know, sometimes we do certain things without really thinking. I found out that I was trying to protect my territory. And I was not, you know, the person that was meant to take over some of those responsibilities. I was not giving him all the information or assistance that I ought to. And, you know, I was a pastor. I was a pastor. And the interesting thing is that, you know, like I said, your breakthrough will usually happen in the secret. And there was a day I remember very well, I can't forget. I was in the bathroom having my bath. And I remember the Holy Spirit just, God spoke to me. I was just on my own. I don't remember. Maybe I was worshiping or something. You know, I was in the bathroom having my bath, but sometimes maybe just in God's presence. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, you know what? That you are becoming like Saul. King Saul. I said, King Saul. King Saul was trying to kill the person that was meant to take over from him. He said, you are becoming like, you want to become like King Saul. I said, what's that? He said, the Holy Spirit. I said, God, I'm sorry. But I said, God, yes, I have messed up in this area. Help me. Listen to me. I had my insecurities. I said, God, I'm insecure. Lord, I'm insecure. Help me, Lord. I'm insecure. My title and responsibility and influence is what is now giving me security. Help me. I'm insecure. And until I was able to say, God, that is me. I'm insecure. Help me. That's when it changed. And a lot of people listening to me, there are certain areas like that in your life whereby until you admit that, God, help me here. You know, I always say that the worst sins are the ones you cannot see. The worst issues are the ones that you cannot see because they are covered by cloth. For example, if somebody is proud in their heart, sometimes you cannot tell. Some people you can tell, but sometimes you cannot tell because it's covered. And when you tell them or you speak to them, they will argue that, no, I'm not proud. What is your name? Lord, I'm proud. I'm arrogant. Help me, Lord. What is your name? God is asking somebody here, what is your name? What is your name? You see, and if you cannot answer that question, or if you don't answer that question, you will not allow God to break through to you. Because it wasn't until Jacob answered the question that God broke through to him. The Bible says in verse 27, he says, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Listen to me. Listen to me. Get this. It was not until Jacob admitted his name that God revealed his destiny. The admission by Jacob opened the door for the unveiling of his destiny. Get this. There are certain things that if you don't admit that this is who I am, God, that God will not reveal what he wants to do in your life or through you or your destiny. The same Jacob. You know, these days, we say the nation of Israel. The nation is known as Israel. Where did it start from? It started from here. The same Jacob that was a deceiver, a schemer, a whole nation was named after him that God chose. You know, as I read it, I wonder what would have happened if Jacob had not admitted his name. I don't know. God knows. I don't know whether God would just have passed it to the next generation or to the next man or his uncle or brother. I really don't know. But he was chosen. But the point I'm making is that it was until he admitted that God gave him a new name. And you see, sometimes you think that, the fact that I've become a Christian, automatically everything passes away. I'm a new creation. Yes, in the spirit. But there are still some things in our lives that God wants us to admit. Said, what is your name? God said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. In the name of Jesus, your name shall no longer be called Jacob. But Israel, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray over your life that even as you admit who you really are today, that God will begin to unveil your future to you in Jesus' name. I pray in the name of Jesus that as you admit today who you really are, that the hand of God himself will be upon your life in the name of Jesus. I pray that as God breaks through to you, as you allow him to break through to you today, that in the name of Jesus, nations shall come forth out of your loins. The Bible says, it says that, he said something. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. And then in verse 30, then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. The blessing only came after he said his name. The blessing only came after he admitted who he really was. The blessing only came after he was sincere. You know, I was thinking of all this, and you find out that David is an interesting man, because if you look at the life of David, David did many atrocities. I was saying earlier that, you know, when I look at the life of David and his family, you can write a movie about him and it will become a blockbuster. All you need to do, don't put Christianity. Just change the, because the storyline is like a soap opera. You see the son sleeping with the concubines. You see a coup happening, the son trying to dispose of the father. You see another situation whereby his second in command, or commander in chief, that he was alone to himself and killing everybody and anyone. It was like a soap opera. And it seemed like David's family was out of control. But the interesting thing, as I thought about it, the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 13, it says that God said, I think verse 21 or thereabout, it says God said that I have found David, a man after my own heart. And I was thinking about God, with all this that was happening, I mean, a certain gentleman called Eli could not control his children, and God removed his family from the priesthood for the rest of their life. So, similar thing, David could not control his children. First of all, Absalom did his own. Then Adonijah wanted to do his own. But this same man, God said that the throne, he will never take the throne away from his home. But do you know what? One thing I found out about David is that he was sincere with God. In the midst of all that, David himself had sincerity of heart. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, or this morning. The only way God will break through to you is when you have sincerity of heart with God. This morning, with all eyes closed, the Bible says, what is your name? I want you to just go before God. Listen to me, it's not about me. It's not about the person next to you. It is not about your spouse or your friend. It's about your destiny. It's about your future. And until you begin to admit who you really are to God, he cannot reveal your future to you. So this morning, with all eyes closed, I just want you to begin to speak to God that, Lord, this is who I am. Lord, I'm a liar. Whatever the case may be, Lord, I'm a cheat. Lord, I'm this, I'm that. Whatever you may be in your life, begin to admit it before him right now. Because it's not about you. Or it's not about the person next to you. Lord, I'm arrogant. Lord, I'm proud. Lord, I'm a gossiper. Speak to him right now. So that he can tell you who he wants you to be or who you are meant to be. Speak to him right now.